We're talking on materialism now, and I'm going to go again back in history to the Aztecs and Maya civilization, and I want to bring to you an image that they had, the image of a cactus plant, which stands for this weak earth, or this materialistic mind. Can we have that picture of the cactus plant? Where is it? Right, we'll have it out in a few minutes. See, since this world has made our minds a kindergarten mind, I thought the best way is to face reality and come up with some visual pictures for us. We can better work with it if we have some of the kindergarten images. See, so there is a big bird there, you can see, with a snake in his mouth, and the bird is standing on the top of the cactus. What does this stand for? Now, I've never lived among those people. They never taught me anything. But when I saw this, I readily recognized what it is. And if you can go get some American Indians who know something about this, they'll bear witness with me that I'm telling you the truth. The cactus stands for the materialistic nature, the greed in the people. This nature in people brings about accumulation of material things. People who don't care very much for material things, they won't build skyscrapers, Empire State Buildings, Sears Towers. They won't put houses 2 inches apart all over the city and pave the whole ground with cement and asphalt. We won't do that. It takes one who's moved by greed, the materialistic person, to crowd his life with material things, to move out the plants, to move out the birds, and the other domestic creatures, to set out the singing of nature with stones and cement, asphalt, and steel. This is the materialistic person that will do this, you see. So greed brings about a path of materialism. So the cactus in these Indian religions was a symbol of this particular mind in the people. Now, why did they pick it for a symbol? Let us go and look at the cactus to see. The cactus grows where there's nothing. Grows in the desert. The beginning of this materialistic movement starts in an undeveloped world, and they build up some wealth. In the beginning, their wealth is a cactus in a desert, and they keep it like that. In order for it to change from a cactus into an affluent society, they have to come in contact with it, or in opposition to it, the forces of the human nature. The human nature began to meet it and say, look, we don't want no world of desert of all cactus. We want a desert to become green so that the sheep can drink on the desert. Isn't that right? So when the forces of human sentiment, of human nature, began to work against the forces of greed, then we find that the cactus, the desert of cactus, becomes a farmland, a pond. Is that right? Because the human motivated people, or the humane society, is going to force their cactus to stop hoarding the water of the desert. Now let's look at the cactus. It's designed to attract horses. departure from there. It has mules on it, and science says that these mules attract moisture for the fat. And it stores the water in the cactus. Doesn't give it up. Doesn't evaporate. Doesn't let it evaporate. It hoards the water. And the Holy Quran says the worst of beasts is the hoarder. Is that right? And we shall brand him on his snout with the metal that he has hoarded, with the gold that he has hoarded. We shall melt him into a ball and metal and brand him on his snout. We shall fry his flesh with the ball and wealth that he has hoarded and kept away from the fire that he hoarded it from. So this cactus out there, it gathers water in from the environment and hoards it, won't release it. And because of this hoarding nature, this cactus is able to survive by itself in the desert. Some of them are small, some of them are big things. Great cactus, going way up in the air, is that right? But there's no life around. Nothing can grow but cactus.
The movement of the man of sin and the movement of the man of God.
bring about the maturity of his man, to bring his man into adulthood, into full form, for he should be the Khalif, the custodian of the earth, or the ruler of creation. The devil himself looked at God's plan and stole it. Okay, he's going to create a bright intelligence. I'm going to take control of it. I will be the bright intelligence. So Satan, the serpent, became the star. Is that right? Said, oh, Lucifer, star of the morning. But God thought about his fall. He fell and then rose up again. Is that right? All right. Let's keep going now. But eventually, he was transformed into an angel of light. Now, you know in the Bible pictures, they show you angels with wings. So this means that the serpent rose up and got teeth. He became a dragon and walked with fire coming from his mouth, meaning that he had the power to destroy his enemies with the horns of his mouth. He gained that much knowledge of divine. And the last transformation was that he was transformed into an angel of light. He didn't give up any of his other forms now. He left the snake behind him. He left the dragon behind him. But he himself had managed to fly out of sight and hover above the world and spit out his prey and come down and swoop so fast it got it and gone. So everything that God planned for his man, the devil, also planned a plan like it. He can't invent anything new. He can only steal the blueprints from God. So he designed his plan that he will make him a mind that would be like the divine mind, like the mind of a son, that will be able to rise up above the world and rule the world from without, way above. The world's eye won't see him. He will be a hidden God. But he will see them and rule them from a distance. All right, we want to bring in now, if you please, the cow, the image of the man, and also the stars. We're going to have a good time here with some visuals. Just relax, we're going to be out before too late today. The Bible calls the man of sin a beast. And in Revelation it says, he who has wisdom counts the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Or 666. What does this mean? A beast. Where did they get this concept of a beast? And how did a beast now become a man? And what is the meaning of 666? In Genesis we are told that the man was made on the sixth day. Is that right? All right. So the man of six is the man that was made on the sixth day. What man was made on the sixth day? Was it Adam? No, indeed. Adam, as we see Adam in the Bible, was a good man, a godly, the good mind. The man that was made on the sixth day is the man that was seduced by the serpent. He was the same man in that God created him from the beginning. But he was a new man in the sense that his mind had been killed and his mind had been captured by the evil mentality of the beast, of the serpent. Do you understand and follow me? All right. So when we read about Adam and his son Cain and these people in their vicinity, We're reading about the creation or the grafting of a wicked human society. Last Sunday, we talked about this cow concept, right? The cow was an image or a symbolic picture or image of the whole creation, the whole world. And particularly, it was a concept or image of the government of the society, that is, Egyptian government of society. The Egyptians had this cow as a symbol of their society, and in this cow, you see four principal figures here and three principal figures. The four principal figures, we went over that, and the three, we went over that. These principles are in the makeup of the order of the society. In every human being, there is this principle, the threefold principle. And in the total society, and which includes all flesh, there is the workings of this four principle, four-stage principle there, which is earth, which is symbolic of our gravitation towards creating the physical world, water, which is symbolic of the gravitation towards all purity, we want to become more or less pure, the human, the real human description of the person, by description, human beings are moral creatures. We have other descriptions too, but the description that really stands out and separates us from other life is the moral factor. So, the water stands for that, and the fire stands for the knowledge in us. Knowledge is like fire. It can break up material things. It can break up problems and transform problems into new things. It can break up material things and transform material things into new material things. Knowledge can do this. So knowledge is like fire. Then we have a fourth knowledge, which is of divine spirit, or of godliness. And that knowledge is revealed knowledge. It is the divine light. But compared with to it, or symbolic of it, is the sun, which is the light of this physical world. We have fire on earth, right? No fire on earth can equal the fire of the sun. You see, the sun lights the whole world, warms the whole world, and keeps the whole world within. Is that right? So the people, wise people of old, they use that sun as a symbol of the divine light, or the divine fire. And in mythology, you will read of certain ones killing the heavenly fire. You will study mythology, perhaps you ran into that. All right, so we have here an idea of society that serves Pharaoh of Egypt. In this body, there were classes who were identified with elements or with principles in this desire. Some were identified with common earth. Common earth people can't do anything for themselves. They have to be taken care of. They have to be developed. They have to be transported. They have no mobility. Now, don't think that the world has put aside these concepts. You wonder how come the masses get the treatment they've got? In the history, the modern history of this world, it is because minds that rule the society have seen kind of pictures of the masses in their minds. The masses are dirt. We have to develop them. We have to rule them. We have to carry them. They have to serve us. We have to walk on them. We have to build our world on them. All right. Another class was the moral class. This morally moved class, they felt in the broad order of the religious people. The leaders of that religious order were word of truth. The next prayer is the fire. Goes out of Egyptian of Pharaoh. He had the power to make fire. The magicians there don't mean magicians in some silly childish sense that we think of magicians. Magicians in the Bible mean people who had great wisdom, great knowledge of society, the physical world, and all of society. And then above them was Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh was above the priest and the doctor, you see. And this Pharaoh, he saw himself as a model, a type of the Son, God himself. And some of the Pharaohs believed this so strongly that they executed their judgment on the people as though they were Almighty God. This kind of concept in an artificial society that we could call it discriminated between a government or an order that depended heavily upon slavery for its maintenance. The Southern plantation depended upon slavery for its existence and for its survival or progress, prosperity. It depended upon slavery. Well, Egypt, ancient Egypt, under this type of mind and Pharaoh, depended upon slavery too. The slaves were the dirt. The earth, the common earth of that order. Now the book says that Moses was put in the basket as a baby and floated down the river into Egypt land. Is that right? What does this mean now? Who is Moses? Moses in this story has double meaning always. If you always has double meaning, is a snake. The two dollars. Snake was talked off. And he speaks here and he speaks there too. Alright. Moses was floated down the river into Egypt on a basket. What does this mean? Moses. In Moses, we have a picture of the whole Israelite society. And floated down the river means that we were not in the state of strong now, we were not materially strong. We were a baby. The basket represents the material strand. See, a basket is just a little bit of material. It's so light you can float it on water, right? The baby in the basket represents the development of that society. That society, morally and spiritual, was still a baby. That society in knowledge was still a baby. This is the history of the Jacobite people that is known now as Jews. And their society went down the river, which means that they didn't go into Egypt as a material society or as an economic society, or as a political order. They went into Egypt as a moral society. They went into Egypt as a morally whole society. They went in there riding the water, means riding the strength of moral purity or moral power. They went into Egypt like that. Okay? Can we find anything in the Bible or in the book to shed more light on this or to back this up yet? The Israelites are the Jacobite people themselves. They're not the same now, but I'm using their names in the same sense. They say that their coming into Egypt started with Joseph. Is that right? With Joseph. Joseph, in scripture, both Bible and Holy Quran, is a was honest, Joseph was sincere, Joseph was clean in his morals. Pharaoh's wife couldn't seduce him to go with her. He wouldn't steal from Pharaoh. And he was so honest and so truthful and so upright in his morals that Pharaoh put him over the treasure by his storehouse. Is that right? All right. So this is how they got into Egypt. This is how they began to grow. But as they got in there from this Bible. It's a bad idea. Now God has gradually raised
That was a step forward. The baby has to be raised up, reared up. All right. So then, the Hebrews brought this idea, came from the same society, so they came with this idea of creation in the form of a man. In the language of the day, they have a saying that goes like this. Says that there were six blind boys or men, six blind men, and they all tried to identify an elephant. None of them knew anything about an elephant. They had ever seen an elephant or had any knowledge of an elephant. And one of them grabbed the leg of the elephant, and he tried to identify what he was holding. He said, "This is a great pillar. You know, a pillar that holds up a great structure." Then another one grabbed hold of the ear, and he said, "This is a fan, a big fan." So the story is designed to say this, that man, six means the man of six dead. The man who trusts his own intelligence and wants to submit to God. The man of six, who rather than accept God, he just puts his faith in his own intelligence and will do things independently in his own way. That this man that has faith in nothing but his own rational mind and his own intelligence, he is inclined to be subject and limited to his being. He will see something and think that he saw and seen the whole thing. And so each of these six in this particular mind tried to identify this elephant, and all of them failed. None of them could see the whole elephant. Now, in the Bible, we have a story of Jesus and the woman at the well. Jesus told this woman and said, "Woman, you had five husbands, and the one you have now is not yours. The sixth one is not yours." Now, where's the star? We got the star. If you look at these stars, there's a star that has six points. And there's a star that has five points. America, just like most of the Western world, used to have this six-pointed star. But gradually it got away from the six-pointed star, and the five-pointed star became the star. Are you aware of that? All right. The six-pointed star stands for the man of sin. The five-point star here stands for the man of flesh, the earthly man. Five is the five senses. He told the woman means society. He told the religious society that he was speaking to at the well of Jacob, which means the Jacobite people, that claimed to be the right religious order. He told them that you have had six five rulers over you, meaning your five senses. And now the one you have is not yours. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, you came up just like me and every other human being. God created you from the earth just like he did everybody else. And gave you five senses to rule in your primitive body until your other senses develop. Is that right? And most of us think man has six senses. Thank you. We are under the rule of hearing. We are under the rule of smell. We are under the rule of taste. We are under the rule of physical vision. Even the Bible. Many animals locate what they're looking for just by the sense of smell. Others by the sense of hearing. We use all of them. We use all of them. Is that right? The child is 5 or 6 years old. He trusts his 5 senses. Unless you have put some fear in him, then he trusts the fear that you put in him. Is that right? But that baby has to live by his mother. It has nothing to trust but the 5 senses. It comes here and smells its mother and identifies its mother's body. It smells the milk and identifies the milk. It feels its mother to learn the mother's physical body with its hand. It comes here and smells its mother and identifies its mother's body. It smells the milk and identifies the milk. It feels its mother to learn the mother's physical body with his hand. It hears the voices and learn how to identify the objects that are given off these voices. It sees the objects and learn to visualize and identify the images that it visualizes. Is that right? So in the beginning, we are ruled by our 5 senses. And these 5 senses bring us up, they mature, or develop, or evolve us into a rational being. But where was the baby? In the 5 senses. Now the world that we know, it based its knowledge on the 5 senses. Am I correct? I think they call it, what they call it? Empiricism or something like that. Empiricism. See, I didn't go to college like you did. But God directed me to the words that I need in order to get the message across. Now, they call it empiricism, the trusting of the 5 senses, and reasoning, rationalizing, using inference and whatnot to arrive at higher knowledge, knowledge beyond the 5 senses. But it is all based on the 5 senses, is that right? So when it came time in the plan to take away the presence of the sixth, they took the sixth pointed star away and brought out the five. Okay, here you see two triangles. Each triangle having 3 angles or 3 points. If you reverse them as they are reversed there, and place them as they are placed in this so-called star position, which is not the star position, that they took it and called it the star position, and reverse it in that order, you have one pyramid going up and the other pyramid coming down. What is this a sign of? It's a sign of the same thing that is told in Jacob, going out disguising himself with the animal hair. And it's sold in the Moses, throwing out the rod, the person is back after forming into a snake. Same thing is there in this star. But it's sold in a different language. Egypt went up like this. And eventually came to more theism, the belief in one God. That Egypt is history, you'll see that. They followed the natural growth from earth or from creation until they came to the belief that there is only one God. They have a God who's called, I think it's spelled T-T-A-H and pronounced Ha. In the Bible we have Jesus. It is nothing but a play on this Egyptian name for God. Ha. But Tao wasn't a Peter. He was really a true concept
power to bring into existence. That was power. All right. Now, these people who went into Egypt, the Jacobite order that went into Egypt, they came up with the idea to use the Egyptian knowledge and combine it with theirs. Theirs were in this man concept. The belief that in the man, there is the principle of materialism, the principle of moral value, and the principle of knowledge working in the man. So they form these into a triangle too, and then place their triangle over the Egyptian triangle or pyramid in this manner, meaning that we are going to bring God down from heaven to earth. The Egyptians wanted to go up from earth to God. They said, now we, using both of these knowledges, using sophology as a sacred cow, milking it, and giving the milk to the cow baby, and the men, we shall take the forefront and the precious part, the valuable parts of it, and the better society will give the higher. You see? Alright, so this is a design of king for ruling the society. It's thrown in the top. But we're going to make a triangle now. Here's the pyramid. This is this knowledge in the upright pyramid. Now we have another knowledge. That is the knowledge of becoming God. Who's not really God. So he sits here, brother, he will be the devil. We will put him in the other pyramid. This idea and the other pyramid, and impose one upon the other, and call it the star beast. Using Egyptian knowledge, we will control the society. Using our friends who said God's authority, we will bring our Christ into existence and introduce him as the savior of the world. Believe it or not, this is the scheme that has been played on the world, and they have been successful up until today. If you don't believe that this concept and this concept in the Bible, go and read the Bible for yourself, and in time you'll run into this. The Bible speaks of God as a human being who looks down on the world from above. And there is thunder in his belly. Read the book for yourself. Thunder in his belly. Where was that reason of the man be? The cloud. The belly thundering, that spot location would be the cloud. Where we hear thunder, and rain comes down from there, right? This was fitted as the stomach part of God in this, what's it called, macro cosmic system, macro cosmic system. The big creation, spiritual creation, is with God, and with the cloud music, in the stomach. And read the filthy language in the Bible. And see, can you come up with an explanation for it better than the one that I'm giving you right now? If God had such a savage image of creation as that, then that filthy savage language wouldn't be in the Bible. Well, I don't want you to get filthy language. That language is not going to be saved. You read the Bible, you know it. And I'm sure that this person is here, they don't want me to say it. And for that sake, I'm not saying it. All right, now, the sun is high, so that was the brain, the mind, the head, and the knees, and the light, the eye, and the sun there. Look at the Egyptian pyramid now, and look at this, that they also had a sun in the top of that object. And
your dollar, you can't do it.